Thank you for getting to be here on this 16th day of March 2025. Last week, we had Brother Dan DeLong with us, our missionary representative over at BIMI. And I appreciate him coming in and telling about the class and the lesson that he presented last week. Man, I appreciate that so much. So today, I want to finish the lesson I started before that Sunday, the lesson from the book of Proverbs, lesson number 8 in our series entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. Today's lesson is part 2 of the wisdom of a humble heart. The wisdom of a humble heart. We're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs today. If you want to go ahead and turn there, you'll be looking in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look here in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. As you'll remember, the last lesson we did this, it was 2 weeks ago, but hopefully you can remember that. But we looked at this, the wisdom of a humble heart, and we looked at one item particularly here, God's attitude toward pride and humility. We looked at that. Now, our theme verse from this lesson is found in Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 2, and it said this, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." And we looked at the lesson 2 weeks ago. We saw God's attitude toward pride and how we know that God hates pride. That's one of the things that brought Satan down, is it not? Pride. He wanted to lift himself up above God. And we read about that over in Isaiah and in the book of Ezekiel. God hates pride. But while God hates pride, we found out that God honors humility. God honors humility. We saw there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, Solomon used two words here for humility. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 19, he said this. He said, "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Boy, that's a great statement, is it not? And then he said also in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12, he said, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." And we saw here how that God refers not only to man's behavior and the way he does things, but he refers here to his character as well. Our character. We want our character, the way that we do things, to be right with God. And we want to have that humble spirit. So today, I'm looking, if you're looking at your bulletin there today, your Sunday school bulletin, we're looking at point number 2. We saw God's attitude toward sin. We want to look at man's attitude toward pride and humility. We saw God's attitude toward pride and humility, but today we want to look at man's attitude toward pride and humility. And Solomon here, when he was writing these letters, he wanted his son to not only have a godly attitude toward pride and humility, but he also desired for his son to maintain that godly attitude toward pride and humility. You say, "Preacher, what's the difference?" Well, Solomon never forgot how God had blessed him. And he never forgot where God brought him from. And if you'll go back, I just want us to go back here just a moment to 1 Kings chapter number 3. Let's go back to that just a moment. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And I want us to look here today at, we're going to start here in verse 3. Let's start here in verse number 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. "And Solomon loved the Lord." That's where it all begins, folks. Humility starts with our love for God. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, he said, "We love him because he first loved us." We didn't deserve that love, but God gave it anyway because he cared for us. He loved us. And the Bible said here, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord. That night Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. And lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days." Boy, God had been good to Solomon, had he not? And God reminded Solomon of these things. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles just a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. And in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, I want us to look here at beginning in verse number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 7. And again, we have the same story. "And in that night, God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." Now think about this. Solomon was the king of Israel. He could have asked for anything, but he chose to seek God's wisdom. And folks, that's what you and I need today. We need wisdom. When I pray this morning, man, I was in here praying this morning, God, give me wisdom. I have to preach another funeral tomorrow morning for Rita Livingston. You know, she passed away on Wednesday. Carol Fitz was, we were having the funeral service here, and Brother Gary called and said he'd found his wife dead. She went to sleep in the Lord and never woke up. And man, he was just heartbroken. And I thought, dear God, I need wisdom to be able to help this people. And I want God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. If you've got a family, you need God's wisdom. If you've got a job, you need God's wisdom. If you've got a life, you need God's wisdom. And the Bible said here that in that night, God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast showed great mercy unto David, my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David, my father, be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have any that have been before thee, neither shall there after thee have the like. God had blessed him. And because God had blessed him, Solomon remembered what he needed to do. And you know, one of the things here that God had blessed him with this wisdom, he blessed him with all manners of things. But the question was, how would he do this? How would he keep his attitude right toward God? How do you and I today keep a right attitude toward God? When things go wrong in life, and they sometimes do, and we don't understand why we're going through situations, we don't understand what's happening, how do we keep a right attitude with God? Well, number one, in order for Solomon to do this, he would have to disdain pride. He would have to do away with that and remember that it was God who had done all for him that had been done. And folks, you and I have to do the same thing today. Listen, the house that you own, the job that you have, the wife or the husband that you have, God has been good to you. And God has blessed you. And we need to remember not just the blessing, but the giver of those blessings. We need to remember where they came from. And Solomon taught his son here in four simple observations how that he should disdain or hate pride and not give in to it in any sort of manner. And I want to share those with you here this morning. Number one, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. Proverbs 16, 18. And here Solomon observed something, and he said this. He wrote these words. He said, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. You know, this proverb should not only serve as a matter of fact, but it should serve to all that read it as a warning. Don't get lifted up in pride. Don't get lifted up in vainglory. Don't do it. Don't do it. Number two, we find a verse here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. And Solomon made this observation, and he taught this to his son. And this is what he said. Proverbs 11, 2, he said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. In other words, the ultimate result of a prideful and arrogant heart is nothing but shame. That's all that happens. Boy, we see that in our political world today, don't we? Pride and that arrogant spirit. And boy, they're brought down to nothing. They're brought down to nothing. But God blesses those who humble themselves and apply godly wisdom to the things of their life. God blesses that. Observation number three. It's found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Look at this. And this is where Solomon taught his son, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know what? When we run into problems and situations and we're not sure what to do, don't take it to Facebook. Good grief. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I hate to put it that way, but it's just dumb. Everybody's got an opinion. But the ultimate question is this: what does God think about the whole situation? When we're trying to decide what is right to do or wrong to do, listen, if you ask men that don't know God, they're going to give you all kinds of answers. But you know what? We need to seek God's wisdom. And listen, this is where I encourage people. Go see the pastor. Sit down with him. If you got a question, you got a problem with something, go and sit down and be honest with the man of God. That's why God set him here. So that you could be able to go and seek out godly wisdom. And you know what? I encourage folks, take your Bible. If you've got a question about this book, and we've had many folks that have come in and they've got questions about this and questions about that, and they may take one verse and just read that one verse, but they've not read it in the context of what the Scripture says, and they don't understand what it really means. And they begin to read that and they say, wow, I never saw that. And it's simply because they had not read the Word of God. And the man of God had to point that out and just show them, look, here's what God says. Let's consider what God said about the matter. And Solomon is telling his son here, he said, listen, when contention's coming to your life, it's usually because of pride. Everybody gets lifted up in pride. And then they get that contentious, rebellious, arrogant heart. And they think everybody's just slapping them in the face and doing bad things to them because they're not willing to do what God said. Ultimately, they want to do what they want to do. And you know what? That's not what we need to be doing, is it? We need to seek it out and say, God, what would you have me to do? Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, let's look at the fourth thing he showed us here. And I got ahead of myself here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. As you're turning there, contention, arguments, disagreement, strife, they all come as a result of pride, exaltation of oneself. Okay? But I want you to look at this verse, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. He said, a man's pride shall bring him low. How many of you have ever done something that was not so wise and then you felt very bad after you were brought low? I've been there. And boy, I thought to myself, how in the world did I get myself in that situation? I opened mouth and inserted feet. Not foot, feet. Okay? Only by pride. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see, God's not going to bless arrogant pride. He's not going to bless it. It yields destruction. It yields shame. It yields strife. And in the end, it yields humiliation and defeat. Defeat. And you know what? God knows. Listen, He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. But Satan wants to make you think that you know more than God does. And the devil, you can go back to the book of Genesis from the very beginning. All he's done is question the Word of God. Yea, hath God said? Oh, God didn't really mean you're going to die because you do something wrong. Oh, that's not. God loves you. Yeah, God does love you, but He loves you enough to teach you truth. And truth is something folks don't want. And truth sometimes humbles us in a mighty way. And folks, shame is all the devil wants. Listen, the devil knows that he can never unsave us. He can never unsave us. We've been given eternal, everlasting life by Almighty God. And when He saves us, He saves us for eternity. But here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to defeat you. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to be filled with shame and dishonor so that you're of no use to God. And boy, if the devil can cause you to get defeated and discouraged, he'll do that. So that's why I'm saying to you today, humble your hearts. Keep yourself. When you don't know the answer, don't be ashamed to tell somebody, listen, I don't know. But let's pray about this thing and let's see what God's Word says about it. And let God's Word be the defining factor. This is our ultimate authority. It's not what I say. It's not what Dr. Bottlestopper says. It's what thus saith the Lord. So we need to understand. And you know, it's so sad to see how Solomon's own son, Rehoboam, came to realize just what his father had tried to warn him about. You read about this over in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. You don't have to turn there, but I think I put it in your Bible study notes there. But the Bible said, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. And Rehoboam was 44 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Folks, if we don't prepare our hearts to seek God's wisdom, we're in trouble. And Rehoboam failed God. He failed the people of Israel. He was seen as being evil in the eyes of God because he refused to prepare his heart, to humble his heart, and seek God's wisdom and guidance. And that man ultimately died in disgrace and dishonor because he chose to do evil and he would not humble his heart. Man, I don't want to end this life that way. I want to end my life living for God. Amen? I want to live for Him. So let me ask you this. How do you avoid this type of shame and disgrace? How do you avoid all that? Well, number one, you need to desire humility. You need to desire it. You need to long for it in your heart. It is not wrong or sinful to desire to be humble. It is not wrong and it's not sinful. The psalmist David wrote this in the book of Psalm chapter 37, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, he said this. He said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Now let me ask you today, what is the desire of your heart today? Is it to honor God? Is it to bring honor and glory to God? Or is it to exalt yourself? Listen, you can't exalt self and exalt God at the same time. We need to humble ourselves. Number two, Solomon did three things here to help his son to have that right desire in his life. Number one, he urged him to be humble, to remember where God had brought him from and what God had done for him. Number two, he challenged his son to cultivate a submissive attitude in life. Listen, prefer others before yourself. Okay? We need to learn to prefer others before yourself. Sophia lives with us. That's Andrew's little brother. She's our Chinese exchange student this year. And she is not used to gentlemen holding a door for a lady. Okay? And they just think, you know, hey, we just do whatever we need to do and get it done. And I always hold the door for my wife. I let her go first. You know, hey, if we had somebody break in the house, I always send my wife to the door because they're probably not going to shoot a woman like I would a man or something. But no, I'm just kidding you. But we're trying to teach her to be a lady, you know, to be a young lady and expect men to treat them correctly, okay? And you stay away from the ones that don't, okay? All right? So we're trying to teach her to cultivate that right spirit and a submissive attitude in her life. And so now when she goes to the door, she stands and waits for me to come and open the door, okay? All right? She learned that from my wife, I guess, all right? But anyway, but number three, Solomon longed for his son to be submissive to God and to the will of God. When I was praying for a Christian girlfriend, I was on the south side of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I'd been saved. I'd seen some of these pretty little girls that were just cute as a button, but boy, they were meanest rattlesnakes. And I thought, Lord, I don't want that. I want a Christian girlfriend. And so I began to pray for a Christian girl that would love the Lord because I figured, you know what? If she'll love the Lord and put Him first, then she'll love me. And I wanted to do the same thing. So while I was on the south side of town praying for a Christian girlfriend, Lisa was on the north side of town praying, God, send me a man. God, send me a man. And we met at church. We met in the youth group. We sang together in the youth choir and all these things. And man, the first time I ever touched her little hand, I thought, ooh, I'm going to marry her. I'm just, you know, it just thrilled my heart to death. Man, it just thrilled me. And you know what? God has been good. God has been faithful. And God has blessed us. Why? Because we gave our lives to Him. And we trusted Him to give us the right one that we wanted. Now listen. You need to learn to trust God in some things. Have the right desires in your life. But why? Well, Solomon explained why. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 33, look at this. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. He instructed his sons. He said, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility." He was not to simply expect honor because of who he was. Okay? He was the king of Israel. God had appointed him as the king, Solomon. And he was telling his sons, he said, "Now listen, you're not to expect honor just because you're my son. But you need to exhibit a spirit of submission and meekness unto God that will earn you respect from others." And folks, listen to me. When folks see that in your life, they will honor you. They will bring you honor. That will bring honor. God will make sure of that. Solomon explained it to his son. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and honor is before humility. And then he also explained there in that verse that we looked at just a moment ago, Proverbs 29:23. He said, "A man's pride shall bring him low. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." You see, that word for honor denotes the reward for both riches and reputation. I may not have a lot of wealth upon this earth, but you know what? I want to have a good reputation. I want to have a good name with the Lord. I want you to know that when you come to me and you ask something and you seek out some things to do, what to do about this or that, that you're going to get an answer from the Word of God. You don't need my wisdom. We need God's wisdom today. And we need to make sure that we do that. God is glorified when we humbly serve Him. And God honors those around us when we do the same thing. So I want you to see something here today. God will uphold and sustain those that serve Him with a humble spirit and an upright heart. You let old pride and arrogance, I can brag about this, I can do this, I can do that. Well, if you can do all that, why do you need God? We need God today. And the Bible tells us here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Look at this verse. I'm going to close out the lesson with this verse. He reminds us that by humility and the fear of the Lord, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. All that we have today is because of Jesus. God honors humility. Perhaps the greatest of all the examples of humility is found in the Bible is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who humbled Himself and became a man. Why? That He might bring us to the Father. God was willing to allow His own Son to pay the debt for your sins and for mine. And you remember He said, "I can call legions of angels and deliver me from all this." But He didn't choose to do that. He chose to give Himself. And because He gave Himself, you and I today, who were once spiritual paupers, have been made rich in Christ Jesus. And it's all because He humbled Himself. And now one day we have the day to look forward to when God shall exalt that name above all others. God's given Him a name that is above all others. And every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to exclaim, "Jesus Christ is Lord," to the glory of God the Father. And we get to be a part of that because He humbled Himself for us. The wisdom of a humble heart. We need to apply that today, don't we? Let's pray that God will help us to be that way. Father, I love You today, and I thank You for the lesson that we've got that teaches us, Lord, that humility comes from knowing Christ, number one, remembering where You found us, Lord, what You've done for us, Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you reach further down than I could ever reach up. And Lord, I pray, God, today that you'll help us to be humble. And Lord, to seek your will above all other things in our lives. Bless those that are visiting with us today. I pray, God, that you'll help them, Lord, to see that we love them. We're thankful that they're here today. And Lord, if there be anyone listening to the sound of my voice today, whether it's in this class or through the internet lesson that will be on the air here a little later, Lord, I pray, God, if they don't know you as their Savior, God, they will see themselves as you see them. And Lord, they will humble their heart and they'll bow before you and ask you to save their soul so that they can be with you in eternity. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach in just a few moments. And God, we'll thank you for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.